Opportunity in front. Protonico is closing down the center of the track. Constitution has the rail. It's Opportunity. Constitution coming back. Protonico on the outside. The three of them to the wire. And Opportunity has won! Opportunity in the
corner. Dudes named Aaron and Jared, who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Haltzman. This is Blinkers Off. What's going on, dude? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, that's right. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We're 2 hours away from Thanksgiving being here. We record this on a Wednesday because, you know, I don't really want to call you up on Thanksgiving.
No, I reserve Thanksgiving for my closest loved ones and friends, and yeah, I don't...
I'm not on that list, huh?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. Well, that's what, you know, what can I do?
you're getting closer, if that makes you feel better. But yeah, you know, we are recording this on Wednesday night, and of course, like every year, this time of year, a lot of people think Thanksgiving and don't think of horse racing. But for us and all the horse racing fans, we think, oh wow, there's some great races coming up, and it definitely did not disappoint, at least what we're looking at for Friday and Saturday this year as well.
You know, it's funny, before I got into racing, you know, all you think about during Thanksgiving is football. You've got, you know, good games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then I got into racing and I thought, wow, they do the same thing. I mean, we've got great racing on all 3 days. I really can't wait for this weekend to get here. Every year now, and you know, it's kind of a trifecta: food, football, and now horse racing, since I've, you know, gotten into that the last 6 or 7 years. So it really is great.
Oh yeah, I mean, in the last several years it's turned into football, but then of course you got to keep an eye on what races are winning, and that way you can flip it over and watch that race and then continue watching your football and eat more food, and it works out it works out perfect. And this year, we've got great racing, including the Clark Handicap, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But the Clark Handicap came up super competitive this year, probably one of the more competitive ones I can remember.
Yeah, Clark Handicap is great. You know, Dorvin was supposed to run here, and he is going to actually run at Del Mar on Saturday now, called a little audible. But it doesn't matter because the rest of the field is good. Headlined by FNX, the Breeders' Cup runner, Breeders' Cup Classic runner-up finisher, and of course Keen Ice. You know, he seems to run in every big race that the racing secretary writes. Keen Ice is there, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's just get right into it. Today's show, we preview the notable stakes races this Thanksgiving week at Aqueduct, Churchill Downs, Del Mar, and even Hawthorne Racecourse, including the Grade 1 Clark Handicap, the Grade 1 Cigar Mile Handicap, and the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. Let's go. Kick it off with what we just talked about, the Grade 1 Clark Handicap. This is ran at 5:35 on Friday, local time. It's worth $500,000 for three-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth. And like we said, the field is loaded, so I'll run through them all. Keen Ice, of course, the guy that's followed American Pharoah all year long and beat him once. Looks to Spare seems like the heavy long shot here. Mr. Z, Frivolous, is entered, but it doesn't look like she's going to run here. She's opting for another spot. Protonico, Opportunity, Shotgun Cowboy, the local from Oklahoma. FNX and Race Day rounds it out. You've got Race Day at 7-2, FNX at 5-2, Opportunity 7-2, and Kenai's at 3-1. So you got options.
You really do. And to me, the morning line favorite, 5-2, FNX, I actually threw that horse out. I know he finished second in the Breeders' Cup Classic last time out. Look at his form, though. He has trouble putting together back-to-back races. And I know we have this theory, and some people might laugh at it, but I do know that you and I strongly feel like this. Sometimes a really good horse knows when he's up against a great horse that he can't beat, and so he kind of quits. And I think that's what happened in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think horses like Tonalist and Frosted, they made their moves into American Pharoah. They see that they weren't getting anywhere, and they just said, to the hell with it. And I think FNX just decided, well, I'll go on. So he did finish second in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but I don't take it too seriously. So I kind of threw him out at that price of 5-2. I went with Kenai's here. You know what? I think the long stretch of Churchill Downs is going to help him. I think he'll get a little bit of pace to run into. I think Mr. Z will go out there and try to set a nice pace for him. FNX will be up there towards the front. So I mean, Shotgun Cowboy can show speed too. So I think he'll get enough pace to run into. I went with Kenai's on top. I put Race Day second. Here's the deal with Race Day. Which Race Day is going to show up? At Oaklawn Park, I thought he was unbelievable. I thought he was the next superstar. His races after Oaklawn Park in the summer at Monmouth and Saratoga were hard to believe how bad they were. They were awful.
Right.
Raced on the Breeders' Cup undercard, and you and I both were sitting in the media room going, I don't know, I can't support him. I think he was about 5-1, and he ran huge and beat Opportunity, who I placed third in this race. So I think that was a very good race. The Fayette was the name of the race on the Breeders' Cup undercard. I think that was a very good race. So I put Race Day second and Opportunity third. And Shotgun Cowboy, morning line 20-1. If you can get something close to that, he's worth a shot. We're not, we don't know how good he is just yet. But boy, tough first race outside of Oklahoma and outside of Remington Park. There's no doubt. But this horse has a lot of talent. So that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, with Shotgun Cowboy, they have high hopes with this one. We just put an article out on the website just this evening, and throughout the trainer, owner, breeder, you name it, he has really high hopes for this one. And, we've seen this guy in person, and he can run big and really deserves to step up. It just so happens to be this one turned out to be super loaded. So we'll see. 20-1 is pretty generous. So, I would definitely put some money on it at 12-1. I think he's got a shot if he runs a big race. You mentioned Race Day. To me, with Race Day, it's just you never know. Like you say, we both could not believe how bad that horse was this summer, but we both agree, how good he was at Oaklawn, and he kind of showed that again. And with him, I kind of get this feeling it kind of comes in chunks. He runs a couple of good ones, and then boom. And then, typically you say with a Pletcher, we've seen it time and time again, it's like, he's not coming back. Well, he did come back, and he did it in a big way at the Breeders' Cup. So, I would not be surprised to see him run another big one here. He might be, you're just talking about a month off of that his last race. And so I think he's still fresh. So, Race Day to me is at 7-2 is a nice price. And Kenai's, I had convinced myself finally leading up to the Breeders' Cup that he was my second place horse. Obviously I went with Pharoah, and then by the day of, I was like, Kenai's is going to finish second. I really think so. And of course he did not, and he did not run big, but he didn't run terrible. And so I do think with you, I'm going to give him another shot, but 3-1 might be a little short for my liking. But to me, I could see this race. This is a tough race to make money on, just because you've got several, Opportunity, the defending champion, can he do it? Again, I don't think so. And FNX, it's like you say, how fluky was that last race? There's a lot of question marks.
There really is. I think the one thing you can count on is Mr. Z's not going to win this race. So we can count on that. But the thing about Mr. Z, he's 15-1. I think he might even float up. He might be a good horse to play underneath, because the one thing about him, he always does try. So I could see him chasing the speed a little bit. And you know, maybe hold on for third or fourth. But, you know, again, I think the serious win contenders are the three: Kenai, Opportunity, and Race Day, and then your long shot, Shotgun Cowboy. I just, you know, maybe Protonico underneath. You know, he has a very good record at Churchill Downs. He did finish second in this race last year, so maybe he kind of perks up, but he's been pretty bad lately.
Let me ask you this. Does this race do anything? I mean, obviously the three-year-old is locked up, but as far as the older horses go, does this race, you know, like if FNX were to win this race big, or even Race Day, who had a good early year, you know, is there any horse here that could make a case for winning here and kind of making a case for Horse of the Year honors, you know, for that division?
No, I don't think so, because I just think Honor Code's too far ahead of everybody. Him and Liam's Map. I mean, I wouldn't move any of the older horses above those two, even if they won this race. Now, you know, like, say Liam's Map was in this race and he won, he could move ahead up Honor Code because he's in that position to where it's close. But here, I don't think any of these horses are close to those two.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could pull a Dwayne Lucas here and win here, and then maybe run two more times in December and maybe have a shot.
Right, yeah. Only Dwayne would do that. Maybe that's what he's trying to do with Mr. Z. He's trying to get that three-year-old award still.
Yeah, he still got hope, you know. He might just round into form at the right time.
Maybe. I don't think so, though.
All right, so Race Day, Keen Ice. We agree there. Those are the two to beat. Let's head to Aqueduct for the Go for One handicap. It's a Grade Three. Also, of course, these three we're going to talk about here all ran on Friday. Then we'll talk about Saturday races coming up. This is at 3:20 local time. It's worth $300K to handicap fillies and mares. 3-year-old and up, going a mile. Small field here, field of 7, led off by Terrace, the 6-5 morning line favorite. What you think?
Well, I think Terrace is going to be a little bit too tough to beat in here. So I did go with the short price with Terrace. When you look at the other horses in this race, they just leave a little bit to be desired. I mean, I know that the Bill Mott horse, America, 5-2, second choice, I know she's getting better, but to me, Terrace just needs to bring her A game, and she's going to get it done.
This is kind of the race, to me, when I look at it, for all the good races we have to talk about, this one does not get my blood going at all.
No. It really doesn't because, you know, you just – first of all, okay, it's a kind of a weak division anyway, the older, you know, filly and mares. And then you didn't really draw anything of significant note into the race. So this is kind of what happens at Aqueduct sometimes. You know, they're very good. Like say on Saturday, they've drawn in very good races, but this one's kind of flat to me.
Yeah, we'll just move on from there. 6-5, okay. Keep it easy. Go the chalk and move on. Del Mar Race 8. This is a Seabiscuit handicap. It's Grade 2. Ran at 4:00 local time. We're 250K for 3-year-olds and up. Going a mile 1/16 on the turf. Field of 9 shows up for this one. 5-2 on your. You know, I guess you'd call that a soft morning line favorite. Number 3 horse, Bala Bali, horse we've talked about several times on this show, and a close second favorite here is number 4 horse, Seek Again, out of the Bill Mott barn at 3-1. What do you think?
Well, you know, you always like when Bill Mott ships into Del Mar, and, you know, well, or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah.
So Seek Again has a great shot, but I did go with the morning line favorite, Bala Bali. You know, 3 races back and 2 races back, kind of struggled a little bit for whatever reason and didn't run so well, but last time out dropped down to allowance and looked like the horse we all know, so I think the horse pops back here. Whatever, you know, was the problem before, I think it's solved. So I think Bala Bali is going to get it done, and I think if you can get that 5-2 price, that's not too bad. I mean, it's worth a shot. So Bala Bali, Seek Again second. I've always liked All the Way to the Outside, number 9, Big Bane Theory. I think this is a horse that can finish third. You know, sometimes this horse can jump up and really pull off an upset. I'm not sure about in this field, but you got to respect him. So I put Big Bane Theory third.
Yeah, that's the thing about this field is there's enough competitive talent here that, you know, especially with, you know, 6 or 7 of them that you can, you know, you're going to stick, you know, the prices that you like here in morning line should stick pretty close to that, just because you're going to have a lot of competitive betting. Now, I kind of like the number five horse, Avanzari. That's a horse that we know can win and has done well. And Alert Bay is a horse that is pretty good. So, you know, there's several in here that would have a chance to win. So if you like one of these, stick with it and get the price you can, because if, like, 5-2 on Bala Bali is, or as I used to say, Bala Ball, is a good price.
Yeah, it is. And look, I mean, you have to kind of be forgiving. He you know, came in, he won a stakes, and then two straight races, not so good. But obviously there was some kind of, you know, something that happened. And Mandel is one of the best trainers in the game. He figured it out, I think, by judgment of that last race. Bejarano on the ride. I mean, there's too many positives for me.
Let's move to Saturday. We'll go to Aqueduct to start it off. Race three on the program, the Demizali Stakes. It's a grade two. We're in at 12:50 p.m. It's worth $300,000 for fillies. Two-year-olds going a mile and 1/8. We don't have odds out yet, since we're recording this on Wednesday night, but field of seven here and three Todd Pletchers, a Bill Mott, and a Chad Brown. So where are you going?
Yeah, they've got it all loaded up here, like they usually do in the state of New York. Those guys kind of dominate things. I'm surprised Christophe Clement doesn't have one in there. That would just round it all out.
But, yeah.
I'm going with a horse that I think is maybe a rising superstar, I hope anyway. Uncle Mo is off to a great, great start as a stallion. He's just everything he's throwing is winning right now. So I'm going to go with number four, Mo D'Amore. For Todd Pletcher, Javier Castellano on the ride. I really liked how this horse broke its maiden. To me, you know, I can't go against Uncle Mo right now. So that's who I went with. You know, I think Thrilled for Todd Pletcher is a nice horse. I think Lewis Bay for Chad Brown is a nice horse. And you have to do a little bit of guesswork in these two-year-old races. But I'll take number four, Mo D'Amore.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about Uncle Mo and how good of a sire he is. There's new news out here, and we have an article posted on our website. If you just search for it on our website, but they're now offering that, you know, they always have the Kentucky Derby future wager, but they're now offering the Kentucky Derby future wager for sires. So, you know, if you love Uncle Mo, you think an Uncle Mo horse is going to win, say Nyquist, 20-1 on Uncle Mo horse winning the Kentucky Derby. So it's a pretty kind of an interesting 30-1 on your curling. So it's a kind of an interesting way to do it.
You know, that is really fascinating. And listen, the Derby winner can come from anywhere, and that's kind of what makes it fun. And it's also, it gets a way for you to say you love curling like I did. Well, you can kind of bet him again and then root for all his horses as we go down the trail. That's kind of cool, and I think that's a different aspect of the game they've been creative with, and I think it can kind of get a lot of people involved. So I really love it. I love that wager better than the actual Derby future wager.
Which is very well documented that you hate, yes.
I do hate that, but with this, it is more of just a fun type of wager. And you also, you know, if you say you pick curling, well, you might have, you know, 5, 6, 8 horses that one time or another will be on the trail that you can root for. So it's kind of cool. It kind of just adds to the intrigue of the whole thing. I think it was a good idea.
No, I completely agree. And I think it's very smart by them because we have friends and people that love racing but don't necessarily, besides some of the bigger races, aren't super focused on the everyday things, but they know their sires, you know, and people like that they may not be able to follow your Nyquists and your Brody's Causes and all these horses that are starting to be on the trail, but they know curling and they know Uncle Mo and so things like that. So this is a little more of a, you know, an interesting bet for them because they can still have a rooting interest in something they know a little bit more about.
Yeah, I mean, you just hit it right on the head. You said it better than I said it, but that's kind of what I was trying to say. Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, well, like our buddy from California, Ryan Stillman, you know, outside of Nyquist and maybe Swipe and, you know, a couple others, he doesn't know any of the two-year-olds, but he knows every sire and probably every race that sire has ever ran.
Yeah.
So he would be perfect for that kind of wager.
Exactly. So, yeah, I wanted to touch on that. So, yeah, make sure you guys check that out if you're interested. I think the first, I started opening up in like early February maybe. So you can probably get some earlier than that even. So make sure you check that out and read up about it on our website. So let's go to race 5 at Aqueduct on Saturday. This is the Rims and Stakes. It's a grade 2. Ran at 1:50 p.m. local time. It's worth $300K for two-year-olds going a mile and an eighth. Field of 9 in this one. Who do you got?
Oh, man, this was a great race. And speaking of Kentucky Derby, here's a one of the last major two-year-old preps for the Kentucky Derby. Boy, you know, where can you go here? Sail Ahoy for number 2, Shig McGahee. Rosario to ride has looked very good. Mohamed, number 3, the McLaughlin horses look good. Chad Brown's got 2, Flexibility and Gift Box. Both of those look very good. I'm going to land on the last one I mentioned, number 6, Gift Box. I think the stretch out's going to be good for this horse. And you know what? Javier Castellano on to ride. I picked Javier in the Demoiselle. I'm going to pick him again in the Remsen. This is going to be a crapshoot. I think it'll be a very close race. But I think the stretch out for Gift Box is what I'm counting on.
Yeah, this is, I love this time of the year because we start kind of getting at least a taste of what we can look for 2016 and who to kind of look, keep an eye out on for these last bits of races carried the last of the year. And then, you know, of course, as soon as we roll over 2016, we jump right into the Derby Trail, essentially. So, this is really exciting for me. And I still, a lot of these, you know, this could, there could be some here that, you know, we talked about this before the Breeders' Cup, and I asked you, you know, if we would see the Kentucky Derby winner at the Breeders' Cup. And you said, you said no. You said, I don't even think we've seen him run yet, you know, really in a big race. And, you know, this could be a race here, something like this that we'll see.
It's possible. I'm lost. So I'm not afraid to admit it right now as far as the two-year-olds go and the Derby prospects go. I really don't know who I like, which is the exact opposite of what I was last year when I had a real good idea who I liked. That was American Pharoah. But so I'm watching this race with the same intrigue as everybody else, you know. Who can step up and maybe be that horse? And the opportunity's wide open, and so we'll see. You know, I it's tough. I mean, I could really see about 7 or 8 of these horses winning, and I don't know if that'll project well or not as far as the Kentucky Derby. But I do like it that it's at a mile and eighth, and I think that means something.
I do think we will have a very fun, competitive Triple Crown, you know, trail this year compared to last year where we had a couple huge standouts and then a lot of kind of also-rans, so to speak. And so I think this year we're going to have a lot where you could have a horse not make an appearance and not even get in until one of the last races and have a chance to actually win the Kentucky Derby. That could be the kind of year we have this year. So definitely that I'm excited for next year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's going to be bombs away next year. It's really going to be bombs away. I just don't have a strong feeling about anybody right now. And that's not to say, you know, that there's not horses out there that are really good. I'm not going to go down that road and say everybody's awful. It's too early. They might be, they may not be. But I just don't have a strong figure on, okay, I like this horse. He could win the Kentucky Derby. I don't have that yet.
No, not even an ounce of that right now for me either. So I'm with you. Let's go to race 7, the Comley Stakes, the grade 3. We're in a 250 local. It's worth $300K for fillies, 3-year-olds going 1 1/8. Field of 10 in this one. Now we're talking the fillies, and this year, 3-year-olds have been anything but consistent. So, where do you go here?
Well, they haven't been, and then you get to this race, and it's like, well, I don't really like any of them. So, and then, you know, the best 3-year-olds in the division didn't show up for this
right
one. Look, to me, this is a total crapshoot. I think any of them could win. I went with Temperament Patty basically because of Todd Pletcher, and that's the only reason why. You know, I almost picked Pain Burn, but how many times do you have to be kind of burned by that horse to say, well, you're just an idiot to pick her again in a stakes race? Peace and War just seems like a horse for Grand Motion that likes to get second or third. Couldn't go with her. Forever Unbridled, I played with a little bit, but I couldn't do her either. So I just went with Pletcher in New York, Temperament Patty.
Yeah, there's, you know, really, you scan through here and you look for one of those, yeah, in a year of three-year-olds, it's been three-year-old fillies that's been weak and highly inconsistent. You look for one of the names that, you know, at least you can hang a little bit on, and none of them are here. Literally none of them are here. So this could be a wild one, and I would play deep in this one.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Let's go to race 9, Cigar Mile Handicap. This is the main event on Saturday at Aqueduct. It's a grade 1 that ran at 350 local time. It's worth $500,000. It's a handicap for 3-year-olds and up, going a mile. Field of 7 and 6-5 on the outside on Private Zone, a horse we just saw not too long ago. And Tonalist, the 5 horse, we saw him just not so long ago, at 2-1. So those are your two clear 1-2s. Are you going one of those two at least?
Man, I'm telling you, this is going to be a hell of a race. And it's one of those races where you could see an upset here. Private Zone at a mile, maybe he might be a tiny bit vulnerable. Tonalist at a mile after, you know, running in the Breeders' Cup Classic, perhaps, you know, he won't be quite sharp enough to win it. And, man, I'm telling you, really, horses number 1 through 4 really could pull off upsets here. Number 1 marking, a very nice up-and-coming horse for McLaughlin. Number 2, Missile Wish, probably more of a turf horse, but maybe we'll see. Number 3, Red Vine for Christophe Clément. Hey, there's nothing wrong with how that horse is running right now. You know, very solid. And then Metru for Chad Brown, another one running very well. So I've hyped 4 long shots there for you, but I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go number 5, Tonalist. I think Private Zone is just vulnerable enough at a mile that Tonalist can kind of be handy, get placed in a good spot, and get the job done. I've also heard there's a chance for rain in New York on Saturday. If that's the case, that's going to put Tonalist over the top. He loves the mud.
Well, we saw that clearly right before the Breeders' Cup, and if that's the case as well, then I'm all in on Tonalist because I don't think he's looked better than he did that day. And, of course, that was in a very sloppy track. Private Zone, I'm kind of with you. A mile might be a little short, but you know, a Tonalist, Private Zone might be a little long, and Tonalist it might be a little short. So you kind of middle grounds a little bit. But Tonalist, to me, has the better shot. You know, you wonder what, you know, Private Zone was all out in the Breeders' Cup. You know. All out to, you know, that was a great race and did everything he could to win and just didn't do it. But Tonalist maybe didn't, even though he ran the classic, kind of like you mentioned earlier, you know, how much did they ask of him towards the end because he clearly wasn't getting there. So you wonder, maybe he has a little bit more left than we think. And so if it does rain, especially, then no question Tonalist, but I think he's probably the better shot of those two favorites.
I definitely think so. And he's just so classy that it's really hard to pick against him. And so Red Vine is the horse that I almost picked in the upset. But in the end, I could not get myself to pick Red Vine over Tonalist. And, you know, maybe that's a flaw of mine, and I need to take more shots. But Tonalist is just too classy for me to take a shot against.
Hey, trivia alert here. Who won this race last year?
Oh, man. Who won this race last year? Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't remember.
I'll give you a hint. He's running this race.
Really?
Private Zone.
Private Zone won this last year?
Cigar Mile Handicap won it last year. Yes, sir.
Wow, I did not realize that, and I just said the distance is too long for him, and he won it last year, so I'm smart.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I looked it up just over talking. I thought, well, I'll be, so, but I mean, if I remember right, let me pull up the chart here. Let's look at the chart. But if I remember right, this was, okay, I do not remember right because he won by 5. So, going away. Yeah. So, beat Secret Circle, who finished second there.
Yeah. Run down, like, the top 5 in that race.
Private Zone, Secret Circle, Bourbon Courage, Big Business, and Vijack.
That's Secret Circle at a mile was, we knew was not very good. Those other horses I wouldn't give you a nickel for. So maybe he just won by default. But no, he won by 5. That's great, but I don't think he faced Tonalist last time, and that's gonna be different for him. For
you wouldn't
sure.
give me a nickel right now for Vijack?
No, maybe I'd give you a couple pennies, but I wouldn't give you a nickel.
All right, so once again, we're going against Private Zone here and going with Tonalist. Let's go to Churchill Downs on Saturday here, race 9, the Golden Rod Stakes. It's grade 2, ran at 4:35 local time. It's worth $200,000 for fillies, 2-year-olds going a mile. 16th, filled in 9, very competitive filly. We got 2-year-old fillies in a year that Songbird is the clear, overwhelming Philly to be as far as your top prospect and probably your top juvenile prospect, period. But in a field of alsos, who do you go with here? She's not in this race.
You know, the thing about Songbird, she's going to stay out in California until the Oaks. So a lot of these horses you see here today are going to be able to avoid her for most of the year until, you know, you have to get to the Oaks and then you go get killed, basically. But anyway, there's two horses in this race that really caught my eye. Number 3, Stage Play, and number 8, Karina Mia. Now, Karina Mia, I'll start with her. Bill Mott never wins with first-time starters, and he didn't win with this one. She finished second, but came back the next time and just romped in a maiden. So this has all the signs of a Bill Mott filly that's coming along and should be really talented and really good. So I did put her second, though, because I believe Stage Play for Steve Asmussen is a horse that you really need to watch. Last time out, won the Rags to Riches with ease at Churchill Downs. This horse is by Curlin. You know, Steve knows how to train those Curlin horses. He knows a thing or two about Curlin, I would think. So Stage Play, to me, has a win over the track already, too. I think that, you know, that makes a difference as far as the 2-year-olds go. So those are the two for me. Dothraki Queen, third. Horse tries every time. I'm not sure she's, top-notch, but she's good enough to run in these races and make an impact.
Yeah, you know, she hasn't won since, she broke her maiden, and she won the Pocahontas, and hasn't won since, but, you know, nothing bad. She ran second and then ran third in the Breeders' Cup, so, you know, you can't knock her too much for how she's ran, but, you know, do you feel good about a horse that's kind of going the wrong direction as far as wins? I think here you got to go with the strategy of sticking with the horse that you really like and whichever horse it is, because to me it's hard to tell once you get past Songbird, and I can make a case for several of these, and I'm sure a lot of people can too. So I kind of like Stage Play, and I kind of like Dothraki Queen to get a little bit of class relief, to be honest, but yeah, to me, you can make a case for almost all of them.
Yeah, it's just a tough. You know what? It's always tough when you narrow down to 2 in a 2-year-old race at Churchill Downs, because these usually do produce upsets, but I just don't see it here.
I do like the Bill Mott angle. I'm with you on that one, and it seems dangerous. This horse, kind of the progression that the horse is making, and so yeah, I think that one has got a shot. And definitely one to look for, as you said, kind of, you know, because Bill Mott campaigns him. There's no mistake there. So could be one we see a lot of, you know, next year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right, let's go to race 11, the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. It's a grade 2. Ran at 5:35 local. We're $200,000 for a 2-year-old going a mile 16th. Field of 14 right now, before anything's been drawn, or as far as the entries or the odds come out and things like that, so we don't know scratches that nature, but 14 so far, good luck. Air Force is in here, that's definitely an interesting one, and Mo Tom is in here, and there's an annual report from McLaughlin. There's a lot of names in here. Radar Superstar I mean, where are you going?
Oh, this, here's the deal. This one is a absolute nightmare. Unless the number nine Moore Spirit for Bob Baffert chips in and pulls a Dortmund type of race like Dortmund did when he shipped him to Churchill Downs as a two-year-old. That's what we got to hope for, because if he doesn't come in here and win, which, by the way, number nine Moore Spirit will be my pick, and this is a very, very much hyped horse for Bob Baffert, and brings him to Churchill Downs. I really like that. If he doesn't show up and do what we think he's going to do, good luck to you on picking a winner here. You can go 100 different ways. Well, I guess to be clear, you could go 13 different ways. It's really incredible. Second, I would probably put Mo Tom second. But it's shaky. I'm telling you, this is a wide open race. I'm really excited to see what Aero Force does on the dirt. I kind of like Gun Runner for Steve Asmussen, but I'm just going to hope number nine, Moore Spirit, comes through for Bob Baffert.
Yeah, that's got to be your only angle, really. I mean, Aero Force running here on dirt is interesting. It seems like, from what I've read, they're itching to get this horse on the Derby trail, and they know that's not going to happen on the turf. So, this is the time to do it right now. We'll see. You know, this horse looked really good, you know, about won the Breeders' Cup, if it weren't for Hit It A Bomb. And so, you know, this is definitely, this is a good horse. So how can it transition over to, you know, dirt? If it does well, then, yeah, I mean, for sure, this is a horse that's got talent to go far. And hard to count Cassie out in Kentucky, but... I think we just got done. So I feel like we're kind of a broken record. We just got done talking about how difficult the two-year-old is for the colts. Like, we have no idea as far as Kentucky Derby goes, and even who to look at, really. So you put a field of 13, 14 horses together, it's not going to get any easier.
Well, one thing about it, with the Remsen and with this race here, I think we're going to finally have some horses to get excited about. Not that we don't. I mean, Nyquist, you should get excited about him. He's doing very well. But more horses, I guess, to get excited about. Because when you have a horse like Nyquist, so he's won every race, but he hasn't just been, like, you know, blowing them out. So you think, okay, he's beatable. Just give me some horses to try to beat him with. Maybe we'll finally get some here that you can get excited about. Look, if Moore Spirit goes out there and wins impressively, there's no doubt that horse will soar to the number one horse on the Derby trail, just because of who he's trained by. And so if you like to hype horses and get a storyline going, that's who you want to win. Aero Force, I'm with you. I read the same article that you're talking about. And, you know, if this horse can run on the dirt, he's definitely the most classy horse in this race, because you're right. I mean, he ran a huge race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and just got beat by a good horse, period. But he's a nice one, and let's hope he can run on the dirt.
Yeah, I think I'd give it – I mean, he could win, but just give it – I'd give it a shot and see. You know, as far – I'd give it a wait-and-see approach with him, just because, you know, they're doing it this early for a reason, because they want to definitely see how it goes. And I would say it's more of a testing – kind of a testing game for them as well. So unless his price is big, you know, you get a good price and maybe play him. But if you get a short price, anything semi-short, I don't think I would have the guts to play Aero Force. I'd take a long shot here, or something a little more value. Baffert shipping in is, to me, it's always an angle. Obviously, we see it all the time, all over the country. So I'm with you there as far as that angle goes. But I'm not going to argue with anybody's picks here.
No, me neither. Just, hey, if you like a horse and you think you got an inside on a horse or this or that, play it. And don't listen to anybody else, because it's a wide open race. Anytime you put 14 two-year-olds in a field, going two turns, mind you, it has the potential to be a nightmare.
Yeah, good luck. Let's head to Del Mar for the Hollywood Derby Grade 1. Race 7 on the program, ran at 3:30 local times. We're 300K for three-year-olds, going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Whatever you want to call them, Number five horse. This is a horse that we've talked about a lot and is finally making a name for himself on the turf, and is kind of proven to be one of the top-notch turf runners in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a horse that kind of makes me mad because when I pick him, of course, he loses, and then when I don't, he wins. And not only does he win, he dominates and looks really good, and everybody, you know, gets a buzz going about him. And so that's kind of my life with him. And there's a few horses that are like that, and he's definitely one of them for me. But listen, there's no doubt, and I'm really excited actually about it because he was known for so long as the horse that beat American Pharoah, which is good. But you know, now he's a horse that beat American Pharoah, and he's also a very good turf horse too. So I'm glad that he's going on to have a decent career here. You know, I went back and forth with him, and I did go ahead and pick him to win this race, even though Chad Brown sent like his whole barn to run this race. I went with Om to win the thing. I put Offering Plan second for Chad Brown, 13. I didn't really like the draw way outside like that, so I put him second. But yeah, I went with Om, and I hope he gets it done, and I hope I didn't jinx him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start looking for another play now that you just picked him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame people if that's how they do it, but it is really strange with him. You know, I never can get him right, it seems like. And even that maiden race, of course, I picked American Pharoah, and then he beats me, you know, with that one. So he's kind of been a thorn in my side for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I've only got on him the last couple times, I think. But yeah, that was a horse that I'm happy, just happy to see that we can. And of course, here I am. Every time I talk about him, I talk about American Pharoah. But you know, finally making a name for himself, other than being just that random, you know, because like random horse that beat American Pharoah. So I'm happy to see him do better things. What do you think about like Mott's horse, Closing Bell?
Well, I mean, got a big shot. Closing Bell, very good horse. There's no doubt. And again, we talked about it earlier. Bill Mott, when he ships anywhere, you get excited. But I mean, when you ship all the way across the country to Del Mar, that's usually a good sign. Bill Mott doesn't just play around, doesn't, you know, just mess around and send his horses wherever. You know, he's bought them to win. And you look at the horse, where she ran, or where's he ran a bad race. I'm not seeing it. You know, second in the Secretariat, came back to win a really nice race at Kentucky Downs, and then finished second at Keeneland last time out in the stakes. So, yeah, he's got a big shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Om just because that's the horse I've been on the last couple times. But you got to fill a 14. I'm not going to argue. Once again, I'm not going to argue. So, yeah, we're offering a lot of advice for you tonight.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I don't have a strong play anywhere. Maybe this next race we're going to talk about, I can change that.
All right, race 8, the Native Diver Stakes, grade 3 worth 150K for 3-year-olds and up. Going a mile on the 8th, and we talked about it earlier. Dorman left the Clark and came to California, or staying in California, and this is the race he lands in. Number 3, Dorman, very clear favorite here, and I'd say there's a reason why, as far as we needed to win a race, why he stayed here.
Yeah, this is a slam dunk, Dorman. Finally, I've got one that's slam dunk. Of course, everybody can see this. I mean, Dorman's just... He's a really good horse. I think he's got a chance to be one of the top older horses next year. His only problem is Shared Belief and California Chrome are coming back, so they'll be tough too. But Dorman's going to be that number one horse in the Baffert Barn next year, and I'm expecting big things, and I think he'll walk over this field.
Yeah, I think the more impressive thing for me when looking at this this field here is that Cat Burglar is still around. That, to me, is the most impressive thing.
Yeah, he's still going, and it's I don't know. I, at this point, Cat Burglar probably needs to run in about a $20,000 climber.
I mean, this, well, he ran in an allowance optional last time out and finished second, so he's getting closer. But hasn't won since April of 2014 in the allowance race. So yeah, it's
right.
Been a little while. I don't know. I don't see it here. I don't see him popping up. But yeah, Dorman, very clear. Very, very clear. winner here.
Yeah, you know, hey, Cat Burglar, like I said, the class drop to a $25,000 claimer, I think he'd be about 2-5, don't you?
Yeah, he probably would be, and he'd probably run second.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right, let's finish this off. Race 8 at Hawthorne on Saturday. The Hawthorne Gold Cup Handicap, it's a grade 2, ran at 545 local. It's worth $250K for 3-year-olds and up. Going a mile and a quarter. Field of 8, led by your 9-5 morning line favorite, number 7 horse, Commissioner.
You know, my theory on Commissioner, and he's going to be my pick to win the race. My theory on him is if it's past a mile and an eighth, you better look out for Commissioner. I think he just loves to go long distance. So this is a mile and a quarter. I think it'll be right up his alley. Remember last time he won a race was the Pimlico Special. That was at a mile and 3/16. I just don't think there's a lot of horses that want a mile and a quarter, but I do think Commissioner is one that does, and I think he'll get it done.
He's got that very unimpressive grind you out style, you know?
You know, you're exactly right. He has a very unimpressive style. You're never going to watch a Commissioner race and go, wow, man, that was something. He is just going to go out there and run one speed all the way around. And hopefully there's nobody fast in the race that could catch him. That's basically what it comes down to.
But, I mean, you know, if you got Hawthorne and you got Todd Pletcher, it's hard. That's a hard for me to go against. And I know Commissioner is like his third string here, but we've seen him do it before, and we'll see him do it again, I'm sure. I think it's hard to go against. I mean, what do you think about, you know, a few of the other ones in here that we'll mention? Just, you know, Majestic Harbor or Neck and Neck.
You know, Majestic Harbor, they've ran this horse everywhere in the country. It seems like after he won that big race at Santa Anita, the Hollywood Gold Cup, but you know, I don't like him very well. I do think the distance might help a little bit. Neck and Neck is a horse that a lot of people like. I never really have much. Valiant City for Scott Becker is actually the horse I put second, just because, you know, it's Hawthorne. The track can kind of run a little bit funny from time to time. This horse is a local, so he's been over the track. I think that could be an advantage. So that's who I put second. I'm not a big fan of Neck and Neck or Majestic Harbor.
It's an interesting one for me because Commissioner really hasn't looked great since Pimlico, and, you know, not terrible, not great. He did run in that race that we talked about earlier with race day on the Breeders' Cup day. Not terrible, ran fourth, but, you know, we've seen it before. You know, you got to be careful when you look at one of those races of, you know, it's a Todd Pletcher and you're going into a race like this. And you know, Opportunity was a horse like that, you know, running in West Virginia. It was Opportunity, is that correct, right?
Made from Lucky,
sorry. Yeah, I knew that didn't sound right, but yeah, Made from Lucky, the Todd Pletcher horse, but a very similar horse in a way that, you know, wasn't super impressive, but when you take it to West Virginia, you get a better shot. And that's kind of, I think, with Commissioner.
You know what? Commissioner and Made from Lucky are actually very similar to the fact that, like, when Commissioner was a 3-year-old, he wasn't great, he wasn't terrible, and that's kind of Made from Lucky. That's a really good analogy. I mean, I think Commissioner is a little bit better right now, but, you know, when their careers are over, they're probably going to be pretty close to each other.
It's all the time we have. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks, and our simple plays available every day for Aqueduct, Churchill, Del Mar, and Remington Park. Those tracks are running out of time here with these meets ending, so make sure you check those out. We have best plays, value plays, race plays, Bet Mix Command Center, and products from Guaranteed Tip Sheet. These are very good products, all of them. I encourage you to try them out. There's so many angles when it comes to picking winners. Let us help you find yours. Currently covering 20 tracks, all offering free picks, so check that out. We're on Twitter at @racing_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Hoffman. Happy Thanksgiving, and good luck this week. All leads, racingdudes.com. For all of your bets, racingdudes.com. As good as it gets.